Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, the little green pasture. Well, here we are. It is now January the 3rd, 2024. And boy, are we expecting a lot of things to happen this year. Too much to go over right now, but we're all aware of what is coming, what has been set in motion, what directions things are coming from. And this is truly a year I know in my own heart, and I know so many of you others have written to me, and I have excellent fellowship with good friends who we all say, yes, we see it all coming, and we see it perfectly in alignment with prophecy spoken of by Daniel the prophet and in Isaiah's the millennial prophet and Zechariah, all of these, and even the book of Revelation, so much is happening. But with that being said, I want to share some things with you today that I know will give you strength about this life that we are in these last days, because these are truly the last days. And I truly believe with all my heart that 2024 is going to be and will be a time that will challenge us, test us. But amen. We are the children of the highest. We're the children of God. And we are here for his purpose. So without any further ado, I am going to pray, and I ask that you would pray with me. Now, Lord Jesus, I come to you, and I thank you so much that you have brought me and all of your people thus far, and you will bring us all the way in. And Jesus, I want to thank you that you are seated upon that throne, high and lifted up. I thank you for the words of David in Psalm 103, verse 9. Thy throne is established of old. Thy kingdom ruleth over all, and that your throne is an everlasting throne. Praise the Lord. I pray that you will be with my heart, for you are in my heart and in the words that I speak, and let your sound come, and I open up myself to you. It says in your word, in the Song of Solomon, it says, I am a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. Which means there is water that's only for the king to drink. And I pray that those living waters that are in me will not just be for an earthly king to drink, but will be from you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that, Lord, you will send forth rivers into the valleys of this world by this word and by the word spoken of that I'm sure you will fill my mouth with. Amen. Lord, I pray your presence be felt, your voice be heard, and Lord, make yourself known. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to begin with saying that I have excellent fellowship people I spend time with that are very veteranized, have been serving the Lord for decades. And so I get so much out of it because haven't you ever experienced that when you get around people that are alive in the spirit, that right away when you begin to talk about the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he moves right in. Because you see, our hearts are on fire for Christ. And I love that scripture, which is my heart scripture. I have it written in my Bible. It says, Leviticus 6:13, let the fire always be burning upon the altar. Let it never go out. And when you're alive in Christ, your heart is that altar. Your heart is the altar. It's where we go in our hearts to Christ and we live from our hearts. And God sees our hearts. He knows what we're made out of. He knows what we hope for. He knows everything about us, not just this external life we live, but he's looking so far deeper inside of you. And he sees what you're really made of, and he knows what you really think. He knows you, and he loves you. God sent his son to die for you, to forgive you for all of your sins, and to make you part of the family of God. But there's so much more to it, you know? So in these fellowships that I have, I come away many times with messages from the Lord. And I'm so happy to be here to share them. And today, I had a really busy fellowship morning and with three different people. And I just came away so full. And I am like a wineskin ready to vent that will burst if it doesn't, if I don't speak. And I want to talk about speaking. You know, God gave us this mouth. He gave us this heart. He gave us this body. He gave us this life. And yes, all these things are pressing against us all the time. But there is this other life in us. It's by the virtue and power of the Holy Spirit, who is part of the Godhead, the Trinity. And we want to hear from him, and we want him to teach us. And if you have this heart that's just like mine, and I'm nothing special at all, then you are always hungry. You are always thirsty. You're always looking upward. Whatever you're doing through the day, you're looking for him. You're searching for him. Even in the mundane, you see Christ in the things that you can do. And even the little things become the great things that you do. Today, I was speaking with my friend Marty, and I'm going to talk about that. His name is Marty Breeden. Many of you know him, and he's been a wonderful friend to me for so many years, and it goes all the way back to A Minute to Midnight, when so long ago I saw his 2-minute warning, which is wonderful, and I will add that 2-minute warning video in the description box below. And I've known Marty for many years now, and he shared his he went to heaven. He died. He went to heaven. He spoke to Jesus. He was given this message about that God wanted him to share. And so, but that's not what this video is about. I would just want to give a little bit about that video to see, for you to see what that video is all about when you see the link below. So make sure you watch it, because it's so pertinent, so much more now than when Marty first gave it. I remember reaching out to Marty, and I emailed him, or I messaged him or something. And I was like, oh, it was when I was part of A Minute to Midnight. And I was like, we'd really like to have you come on. And he was so gracious, and he came on. And after that, it just took off, and he was speaking everywhere. And he's just been such a faithful brother in the Lord. And he's this big guy, you know, and he's been a policeman. I mean, he was like the toughest of the tough policemen. He told me there were some radical prisons in West Virginia where he lives. And he said, when it got really rough in there, they called me. But inside that man is the tenderest heart that Christ has put in him. So I want to say that about Marty, because he's just not just a wonderful person. He's a truly, truly a man of God, a servant of Jesus Christ. And I love his wife, Georgia, and she's both of them make this amazing, amazing couple. But what I want to first begin with, before I go into what Marty and I were sharing today, I want to begin with this, because I believe it's pertinent to what I'm going to speak about, what Marty was speaking to me about today. Actually, a few days ago, but he wrote a little article about it. And so I want to talk about something I saw. And I was in prayer, and I'm always in prayer, Lord, to the Lord about my next message, which I don't like to call it my message. It's like, Lord, give me a message from your own heart. So incidentally, part of my devotions, I'm reading the book of Luke. I'm in chapter 1. And I'm reading about Zechariah and, of course, his wife. But there's something that sprang out of that word and it spoke to me directly. And so I'm going to read a few passages. I'm going to jump around because I don't want to read the entire thing. As you know, Luke has huge passages, it's huge chapters, but I want to pick out certain parts I want you to hear, and I'm going to build. Jesus is always a carpenter. The Holy Spirit is always showing us how to build, and I pray to him, structure, help me to structure, help me to build these messages, which he does many times as I go along. So I'm going to begin. So in Luke chapter 1, starting at 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." And so he goes on, and I want to read that whole thing because he goes on to talk about what John the Baptist will be, what he will do in terms of being like, he'll go with the spirit and power of Elias. And he's going to make, by him to make a people ready for the Lord, prepared for the Lord. Zacharias responded and said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? I'm an old man. And my wife, well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." So you look at this man, you become a priest according to Levitical law when you become 20 years old, and you serve until you are 50. And so you know this man has been serving Christ a long time. Now, he's an old man. We know he's bare. They prayed. I believe they gave off praying a long time ago. You get to a certain point where you go past the childbearing age, you're not going to ask anymore. And so he just went on into the priest service. You know, it says that they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of God, blameless. So we see that they were upright in the law. They were upright in the ordinance of God. They walked in it. They were blameless. He is fulfilling his course, because a course for the priests of Levi, that each priest in his course had to fulfill a certain number of days, which was a week at a time, where they would stay at the temple and they would offer sacrifices, and whatever their course was, that course was for 7 days. It was for a week. I believe it was 7 days. Feel free to correct me. But the point is, he's fulfilling his course, and everybody's praying outside, and he's at the temple. He's in the temple at the time of incense. And prayer is a time of incense for us. And he's an old man now, as we see. And he is visited by this angel who's telling him something that is unbelievable. And most of us would read that and say, well, you can't blame him. He's old. He's seen this vision of angel, an angel fear has fallen upon him. And, you know, some people think, well, that was kind of harsh of that angel, but God is not harsh. There is something God was showing me in this. He said, thou shalt not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And you know, when I read that, I thought about how I got this big picture, this like it was painted before me, that the reason why a lot of people really do not speak at all about Jesus Christ is because there is so much unbelief in them. And by now, in these last days, people don't really know what they believe anymore. They're following every wind of doctrine. And let's even put that aside. People are not even really so much as looking at doctrine so much as that is, instead, they've replaced it with miracle signs and wonders, looking at that as being the evidence of God, which is the most dangerous thing. Now, we do love the miracle signs and wonders that purely come from Jesus Christ, that come from God through much prayer and through hoping and through believing and for waiting and for watching and enduring in that faith. And when that answer comes, it is a miracle to us, because the greater the thing is, the more you regard it as a miracle. I think all answered prayer is a miracle. And so he was dumb. He was told everything he needed to hear, but he didn't believe it. I don't believe that made him evil. It said that he was blameless. Him and his wife, perfect in the law of God and all in the ordinances, blameless. They walked in them. So we know he wasn't a wicked man. We know he was a man that was faithful in his order of courses throughout his whole life as a priest. But here is this man, this blameless man, fulfilling his course at the time of incense, at that altar of incense, while all people are praying without, and he's given a personal visit. And that personal visit, he couldn't believe it. It didn't say he couldn't believe it. It said, the angel Gabriel said, because thou believest not my words that I have spoken to you. And there came a time that Elizabeth's full time was come in chapter 2, and she gave birth, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day, that's starting at verse 58, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there's nobody in your name called by that name. At that point, it says in verse 63, and he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. Let me get to that. So she says, his name shall be John. And he says, he writes his name down. His name is John. He writes that down. The moment he writes that down, it says, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around them, and all those sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And finally, verse 67, it says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. You know what I was shown by the Holy Spirit in this? See, we can have this long-term life that we're living in Christ. And we have lived in the United States where everything has been made comfortable for us. Everything is at our fingertips. If you go to church, you're in air-conditioned or heated buildings. Everything is at our fingertips. We have everything that we want to make us so comfortable. But to the point, there's a big question because we're looking at an old age. This man was blameless, all the things that I had pointed out before, and yet he didn't believe. And yet you have Mary, who was a young girl, possibly as young as 15 or 16. And yet this young girl she believes Gabriel that it will be as he said. She said, "Be it unto me as thou hast said. Let there be a performance of the things that was spoken to you to me." And it was prophesied. Even Elizabeth said, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And you look at two people, and again, it doesn't make Zacharias evil, but it goes to show that we could be so filled up with these external religious habits and things that we do. And that's not a bad thing at all. I'm not saying that, but we get lost in that. And we lose the temperature of things. And things are very mostly easy for us. I'm not negating those of you who are having a difficult time in life. No way. I want to be sensitive to that. There's many of you that are suffering right now. But this message is for you too. This message is just as much for you as for anybody, including my own self. This message was given to me first. Remember that. And so, he said, the angel said, "You're not going to be able to speak. You're going to be dumb." And so we know that a woman is pregnant for 40 weeks. The number 40 is a number of probation. And so he had time. We don't know what he did. All we know is that after a priest fulfills his course, he goes home. And he was there until the birth of his son. And his statement is, his name is John. Could you imagine what was going on with Zachariah for those 40 weeks, watching that baby grow in his mother's womb? Oh, he was believing then. I could imagine what Zacharias was thinking, watching her belly grow and being there at the birth. But he became a believer. Oh, he believed. I don't think it's that he didn't believe God before. I believe he was a good man. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been blameless in the laws and ordinances of God, walking in them. But he became a different kind of believer. And as soon as he said that, it says, his mouth was open, verse 64. His mouth was opened immediately. And his tongue loosed, and he spake, and he praised God. See, look what he did. As soon as his mouth was open, it says immediately. It says his mouth was opened immediately. And you know, I believe that when we go through the trials, and that the trials that we have gone through all these years, because we've been through a lot, haven't we? All of us in our own personal lives. In some way worse than others. But I'll tell you something. Those 40 weeks, we know with those 40 weeks, he couldn't speak because he didn't believe. And again, I believe. And what the Holy Spirit was showing me is a reason why so many people never really speak about Jesus. Is they have unbelief in them. So you can't speak if you don't really believe. There's a scripture that says, "I have believed, therefore have I spoken." Paul the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, being convinced, he said it just, I don't have the words before me, but it was something like this, "and being convinced, I spoke." See, there's a convincing. You have to be convinced. And not because somebody talks you into something or you've read a bunch of books, because I'll tell you what, as much as you try to accumulate intellectual knowledge, it's not going to work. You have to have the spirit of revelation of Jesus Christ given to you. Your eyes have to be made to be open. Your ears have to be made to hear. Then will your mouth be opened immediately and your tongue loosed. And then you will be able to speak. And then you will praise God. You see, I was talking to you today about Marty. See, Marty is extremely sensitive. And yet at the same time, he has a boldness where he will say things, but yet, I mean, and what he says, his stuff is impeccable. And I know him. So when he speaks, people listen. I listen. And he had shared a story with me. And this is what I want to share. I want to get into it. He shared a story about, he said, and he wrote a little article about it. And this is what he said in his little article. He said, recently I had a very devout Jewish man contact me and ask a theological question concerning the virgin birth. His question was asked more out of arrogance than curiosity. And let me just pause right here. While he was saying these words to me, because I'm reading his very short article, he was saying it with brokenness. He wasn't like, yeah, check this out. This guy, you know, hit me up. He was like, he was broken because he's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So let me be very clear that what I'm reading to you, he was telling me. Let me just say it the way he said it to me. I don't know if maybe I'll read more, but he said, Joni, he said, I don't know if you know the name of this such and such. I'm not going to say the man's name, but he said, if he was born again, he would be, I mean, he's like a literal apostle Paul. I probably should just read it. Let me just read it because it'll speak for itself and it'll be in great contextual order. He said, he went on to say, this man asked a theological question concerning the virgin birth. His question was asked more out of arrogance than curiosity. This is a very brilliant man who has a grasp of his Judaism every bit as much as I do my Christianity. He could be a modern day Paul if he got saved. At first, it was cordial, but the conversation went downhill when I spoke about Jesus and his divinity. His demeanor turned angry, almost hatred. Finally, I felt led of the Lord to ask him in a personal question. Tell me, are you afraid of death? He gave me a very honest answer, but it angered him. He said, yes, I am, because I am not sure I have lived a good enough life. I then shared the gospel with him, and yes, I told him he could never live a good enough life, and none of us could. The Bible tells us that there is bondage in the fear of death, and I hit a spiritual nerve. The more I shared, the angrier he got. I knew I needed to lay it all out, and I delivered my soul as a watchman must, according to Ezekiel 33. I was gentle, but firm. I was loving, but direct. Sadly, he then resorted to very vicious personal attacks and bragging about his religious education and then blocked me. But faithfully, I preached the gospel without apology. My friends, in these last hours, it's time to be bold. Expect rejection. Expect persecution. The world crucified Christ, the holiest man to have ever lived, and he was God in the flesh. So don't marvel when they don't accept you or your message, but be faithful to give that message. You know, that man was not satisfied after he blocked and deleted Marty. He unblocked him and attacked him even worse, more vicious ways, which I won't describe because it doesn't warrant it. And it was definitely very painful. He said things that were very hurtful. But you see, Marty believes, therefore he speaks. He talked about being bold, persecution coming. But you know why we speak? You know why Marty speaks? Or I speak? Or my friends speak? And those I know that are out there right now in their fields, you know why they speak? Because they believe. And you know, I've met so many people throughout the decades of being a believer where there's people that never speak about Jesus. And they say, I'm a Christian, but there is never uttered anything from them. Because, of course, I know I'm hearing some people saying, well, Joni, some people are shy. I'm not talking about shy people. I'm not talking about people who are shy, or maybe they're just, you know, it's, I'm not saying everybody has to be out there shouting the name of Jesus. I believe you have to be led by Jesus when you go and talk about Jesus. I believe that you are to follow, we are to follow him. Satan wants to be the one to push us out there and get ahead of the Lord. But notice this man contacted Marty. Marty didn't search him out. Marty described him as this man having this huge following and absolutely brilliant. But look at the one thing he was afraid of. You know, I said to Marty today, I said, I want to share a story with you. I said, I remember long, long ago reading the story, and it was just some kind of secular article I read, and it was about this man who went to the mountains, and he was hiking through a forest, and it was a thick forest, as you would imagine, and he got to a section of the forest where it was, he saw through the trees, and it was thickly forested, and there was trees that were marked with white paint, and while there were other trees that weren't marked with paint. And he looked at that, and he said he saw all these trees, and he didn't know what it meant. He said, later on he'd asked somebody that lived in town, and he asked, I was just hiking in the forest over there, and I saw all these trees that were marked with white paint. And I'm just wondering, what does it mean? Why were some marked with white paint and some weren't? And the person said, oh, those trees that are marked with white are those that are set aside to be cut down. And so I think he said the mark was an X. So there was like big X's marked on them. And, you know, I remember that story, and I told Marty, I said, you know what, Marty? Those X's, I think about trees, because are we not called, even the children of Israel are referred to as trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And Jesus is the tree of life. And so we are called those trees, right? We're trees planted by rivers of water, and we sow by the rivers of water. But you know, those trees, let me just pause right here. I want to say a couple more things about those trees that are marked. When those trees are marked, only those that mark the trees are the experts that understand why the tree must be cut down. Some of them are diseased. Some of them are weak and are not going to make it. They're just something's wrong with them. And there's like a list of different things that they're not growing, they're stunted. Like there's just a list of things, like I just mentioned to you, that they make a painful decision to cut them down. And so I said to Marty, we are surrounded by all these trees. We don't know what diseases they have. You know, we don't know who God has marked for something. We don't know any of this, but God knows. And when we can really, in that time, if somebody comes to you, if somebody comes to us, I want to be bold. Like, yes, there was so much more to that story, let me tell you. Because that man, no matter what Marty was saying, that man was hammering against him And he was vicious and he was ruthless. And he said it was awful. But you know what? Because Marty is controlled by the Holy Spirit, that spirit of love came out with this gentle, "Are you afraid of death?" It took that man aback. That man had no answer. I said to Marty, he had no armor for that. There's no refuge to run to for anybody, for everybody that is unsaved. There's nowhere to hide because death is facing everybody. You know, Marty said something else. He said, "You know what, Joni?" We were messaging back and forth. He said, "You know what, Joni? The Lord has made it very strong to me saying to believe for the impossible." And I said, "What?" I said, "Did you know? Those are the words Jesus was telling me about this year. That's what he was telling Marty about this year, that he was going to want him to believe for the impossible." And I said, "I can't believe it." I said, "That is what the Lord has said to me, to believe for the impossible." And incidentally, I spoke to another brother in the Lord who told me, I told him what Marty and I had said. And he said, "What?" He said, "That's the very thing I've been hearing." And so with that being said, that tells us, as believers in Christ and being made to be alive at this end time, is that God wants us to know that if we're going to believe him for the impossible, that's going to be because there's going to be things that will demand for us to stand in that place of the impossible. Jesus, we know all the scriptures, but you know, those scriptures really don't have any power in our lives if we're not facing the impossible. How am I supposed to believe for the impossible if I'm standing in what is something I could fix or maneuver around? I think about the crossing of the Red Sea and all these things. I even told my friend today, I said, God wants us to believe for all of it. It's not just, wow, he really showed us great and awesome power, because God wants us to see that he's unstoppable. He's unmatchable. We belong to him. And with Christ, it's limitless. And lately, we've been having so many dreams. There's my friend Mina Lee Jones. She called me. She says, "Joni," she's sharing with me these dreams that are amazing. And there's people, my friend Melissa from Midnight Oil, she has a dream she sent to me today. I can't wait to read it. All of us are dreaming dreams. And I want to share this dream. And I know it's 37 minutes and some people are impatient, but listen to this dream my husband had, and it was on the 2nd. It was yesterday. He woke up in the middle of the night, and his hand was kind of shaking, and he said, Joni, and I go, "What?" He said, "I had a dream." And I said, and I could tell he was like shook up, and I said, "Lay down and tell me," because I didn't want him. I was like, "What did you dream?" He said, "I dreamed I was somewhere. I was standing in an outer court." These are his words. "I was standing in an outer court, and I was looking through into a second court, and it was filled up with, I couldn't tell if it was saints that have gone before or if it was angels, and they were all dressed in white." And he said, "And beyond that was another chamber, and it was like an inner court. And I saw a man, and he was dressed in white. He was standing in that innermost place, and he was looking right at me." He says, "I'm standing in the outer court of it." And he was looking piercingly at Jonathan, and he motioned to him like this. And John was like, "Me?" You know, he looked at him like, "Me?" And the man motioned to him, come up here." But his eyes were intense, he said. And he said he went into the inner court. He went up to where the entrance of that innermost place was. And he stopped there because he said he was afraid. And that man said, he motioned and said, "All the way up." And so John said, "So I went in," he said, and he stood right here, and next to him was an altar. He goes, it was like some kind of pillar, and it was not gaudy. It was very plain. He said, and I knelt down in front of it. He said, and there was something there that made it comfortable for me. And I knelt down, and he put his hand on my head, like it was partially on his brow and on his head like this. He said, and when he put his hand on me like this, my mouth opened up, he said. And I began to sing in power. He goes, I couldn't even sing in English. He goes, I was singing in tongues. And it got stronger and stronger and stronger. He said that immediately as I began to sing, and I was singing in tongues, he said, all those people, whether there were people or angels, I do not know. They were all supporting me. I go, what do you mean supporting you? And he said, they were all singing with me. And he said, that happened for a while. And then that man took his hand off. And John said he was so filled with power. He just said, oh God, I want all you want for me. And then he said, but when I said that, it was like he was saying, I want to give you all I have for you. And so he said, it was kind of interesting. It was like I was saying it, but like he was saying it. And he woke up. And you know, that was a real dream. And John has been so changed by that. I believe that Moses endured for that he has seen, he says, for Moses endured because he saw him who was invisible. And you know, in dreams, we see the invisible. We see the invisible. Jacob saw the invisible being made manifest to him when he saw the pre-incarnate Christ standing at the top of the ladder. I mean, think about what Ezekiel saw when he saw the four cherubim and he saw God seated upon his throne in a rainbow around him. He was seeing the invisible. Think about Moses and the 70 elders who saw God sitting upon his throne with the sapphire under his feet like a pavement. They saw the invisible. Moses saw the invisible. See, God shows us the invisible in dreams. Because if we do not see the invisible, how do we endure? See, God makes things that are invisible manifest to us by his Spirit. We don't need outside demonstrations. We don't need God to perform all these different things that people are hanging on today that are like going from ride to ride. Like, what's the best ride at the carnival? That's what everybody's doing right now. But I'm telling you, the one that is on their knees and the ones that are praying and the ones that are looking to the Lord and simply believing in their heart. Mary believed. And it said there was a performance out of the things that she believed. So when you believe there's a performance on God's part, you're not asked to do any more. There will be a performance of the things of which you believed in. Mary saw a spirit, but he was made manifest. He was made visible to her. In a sense, she saw the eternal. Zechariah asked for a writing tablet. It said, his mouth was opened immediately, his tongue was loosed, and he spake and he praised God. Immediately, when I read that, I thought of Psalm 45:1. It says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. See, Jeremiah spoke. He said in Jeremiah 20 verse 9, he said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Job said, I had waited. And Job, Elihu said, when all the three miserable comforters were finally done talking, he said, when I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer my part. I also will show mine opinion, for I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. And earlier on, Elihu said, I thought age should speak. Right? We look at Zechariah. But he said, but there's an inspiration in a man. And that inspiration is God. So, when Marty gave this demonstration, which he wasn't doing anything, he just answered the call. We have to be those that are ready to answer the call and to stand in the impossible, because I believe with all my heart, we're going to have to stand in things, but it will be by faith. You know, he endured, Moses did, because he saw him who was invisible. And when we are made to see Jesus Christ, just not know about things or get things from him, but I mean truly, truly know him, you can absolutely say, I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And not just because you memorized a verse, but because you know it for yourself. And a day is coming, and the day is now, where you have to know Jesus Christ for yourself. And not because someone told you about him, and not because you read it, but you have to get your own revelation. And he's ready to give it to you now. He's not waiting for you to read 10 books and to, you know, look, you want to know him? Mary had a one-time visit with Gabriel, and she's like, be it unto me. I am the Lord's handmaid. That's all she said. And everybody makes it so hard to come to Jesus Christ, to believe upon his son, to become born again. Amen. I praise the Lord. I do. I praise the Lord. We are going to have to remember that we serve the God who has all power claims. All, he said, all power in heaven and earth, Jesus says, hath been given unto me by my Father. Therefore, go. That's a word of commission. God's always going to tell you to go. But keep in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Stay in prayer. Look at what dream of my husband next to that man, which I believe was Jesus Christ, knelt at an altar. Look at Zechariah kneeling at an altar, doing all these external things, but he didn't believe. Later on, he believed. I would have loved to have seen the things he said afterwards. Praise the Lord. Remember what Marty said, my friends, and I quote, my friends, in these last hours, it's time to be bold. Expect rejection. Expect persecution. The world crucified Christ, the holiest man to ever have lived, and he was God in the flesh. So do not marvel when they don't accept you or your message, but be faithful to give that message. God bless you. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit and believe. And you will see. You'll see what God will do. Because in the invisible, when you see him, you endure and you see the impossible performed. Maranatha.